Butane is back. Walker Buehler made his triumphant return to the mound, and he impressed. We're going to talk about how he changes the plans for the Dodgers and this rotation. We're also announcing our winner, 90,000 subscribers. We hit that over the weekend, and we are giving away a Tyler Glasnow jersey. You guys have commented down below. We're going to announce that winner in a matter of minutes. Also, what is the future for James Outman and Andy Páez? We got big injury updates. Should the Dodgers trade for Miami Marlins reliever Tanner Scott? All that more on a jam-packed episode of Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
Grand slam!
It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out. What is up, Dodgers Nation? Doug McCain here, credential member of Dodgers Media. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Now, if you haven't yet, do us a huge favor and subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Join the party and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit that like button. Just hit 90,000 subscribers. And because of that, we are giving away a brand new, authentic Tyler Glasnow jersey. Now, if you've commented done in the past, if you commented Tyler Glasnow, you were entered in to win. And we're doing tons of giveaways this entire season. We're announcing our 95K giveaway soon. If you want to be eligible for that, comment done down below. Also, our biggest giveaway ever is coming at 100K. We're going to announce that at some point. So get hyped for that one. That's going to be our biggest one ever. But first, of course, this show, Dodgers Dugout Live, is brought to you by our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest from team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And of course, every episode of Dodgers Dugout Live starts with our poll question of the show. I asked you guys over on the X, how concerned are you about the Dodgers injuries? You have Evan Phillips and Ryan Brazier and Bruzdar Gratterall, now Joe Kelly, all on the IL. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. It seems like every season you got these injuries that start to pile up. Well, currently the poll right now, 14% of you say very, 40% of you say semi-concerned, 34% say a little, and 12% of you say not. So it is definitely something to monitor. You definitely have a good amount of injuries, especially to those bullpen arms. We're going to talk about those. But first and foremost, let me know where you're representing Dodgers Nation from. Give me those cities down below in the comment section. A few minutes here, we're going to announce the winner of that Tyler Glasnow jersey. Very excited to do that. We got Trade Lux from Mac Cheese. Hey, man, I love Lux, man. Lux is starting to hit. He's hitting over 300 last seven games, but we're still a little premature on that. We have to evaluate him at those 150 at-bats. It's still too early. Andrew Friedman did say recently that they're not looking to trade for a shortstop at the deadline as of right now. So things could change. We're going to talk about that trade deadline, but as of right now, Lux is staying. And how about Gavin Lux with his new walk-up song? He's got the Kendrick Lamar diss track, the Drake diss track, Not Like Us, as his new walk-up song. By the way, our friend DJ Severe, Dodgers DJ, says he's going to be bumping Euphoria today. So even Dodgers Stadium, they're getting in on the mix too. So definitely give him a follow. DJ Severe, he is dope. But let's go down below in the comment section. We got 626 La Puente from Pablo. We got Fig 816 Sacramento, California. Will Smith, MVP. Rancho Cucamonga, home of Mariachi Joe. That's from TJ Martinez. I love those jerseys. One of the coolest minor league jerseys you're ever going to see. The Mariachi Joe inspired jerseys for the Dodgers minor league affiliate. We got Steven Blevins from Visalia, California. We got Jesse Gonzalez. Outman's days are numbered despite last night's dinger. So stay tuned. We're going to dive right into that topic in a little bit. Got some thoughts on that. But first, without further ado, we have to announce the giveaway winner. Now, you guys have been entering Dunn. You've been entering Siler Glass now for, seems like almost a month now, and we're giving away an authentic Tyler Glass now jersey. So thank you so much to all of our subscribers. Thank you so much for helping us get to 90,000, but it is time to announce the winner of the Tyler Glass now jersey giveaway. In order to be eligible for this one, all you guys had to do was be subscribed to our Dodgers Nation channel and comment Siler Glass now on one of our videos, live streams, or social media posts. Make sure to comment Dunn in the comment section now to be eligible for all of our bigger giveaways that are on the way soon. And without further ado, drum roll please. And the winner is at another drum roll, at John Bleeding Blue 5417. You are the winner of the Tyler Glass now authentic Dodgers jersey. Hopefully you're watching the show. Hopefully you're in the chat, because congratulations. Nando390, he thinks he won.
Bruh.
Nando. So, yeah, congratulations. And honestly, thank you so much. You guys are the best fans in the game. Like I say, you guys are the biggest part of this channel. And really, this year is the year of the fan here at Dodgers Nation. We are giving away tons of giveaways. We're working on giveaway packages. Really, we're just getting started with these giveaways. We're looking to do them more frequently. So I'm sorry, Nando390, you did not win. I mean, we'll send you a picture of a Tyler Glass now jersey. How about this, Nando? We'll send you the link to the jersey that we're going to buy. How about that? That's the best we can do. I hope one day you win, Nando390, because we're all winners to have you here in the chat. But congratulations once again to at John Bleeding Blue 5417. Claim your jersey over on our Twitter page, Instagram. We'll get into contact with you. And like I said, we are just getting started. More giveaways on the way. But the big story today, the leadoff today, of course, is Walker Buehler. What a night at the Ravine. It was a buzz. There was an electricity in the air for the return of Walker Buehler. And it had been almost 2 years since he was on a major league mound. Almost 2 years. 23 months, almost 700 days. We had waited too long to see Walker Buehler, but he did not disappoint. And like I said, wasn't the best start. He didn't go out there and have 10 strikeouts, so no shoey or anything like that. But considering it was his first start since June 10th, 2022, and he was recovering from his second Tommy John surgery, I was extremely, extremely impressed with the night he had. And before we get into the numbers, before we get into the actual results of the game, the biggest thing that stood out to me was, of course, that velocity. And that velocity really, really stood out, because he had been sitting at around 94 miles per hour during his rehab starts. He was touching 94, 95, sometimes 93. And he had said that a lot of pitchers talk about the fact that when they're rehabbing, especially pitchers like Buehler, who have pitched on the biggest stage, he has pitched in the World Series, and he thought that, okay, pitching in a real major league game in front of 40-plus thousand fans, I am going to experience an adrenaline rush and experience an uptick in velocity, and he certainly did. And it was really interesting, because before the game, Dave Roberts, he told reporters that he didn't expect 97. He didn't expect 98. And yesterday, he was sitting right around 96. Right around 96, he averaged 95.9 miles per hour on his four-seam fastball. He topped out at 97.6 miles per hour. I see people out there saying he threw 98. You can round up if you want, but it was actually 97.6 miles per hour. So that, to me, was one of my biggest takeaways. It's right at the top. That's my biggest takeaway, was Walker Buehler throwing 95, 96, 97. If that is going to be the Walker Buehler we're going to get, maybe he can be more than just your number three starter. Maybe he can be more than just your game three or four starter, okay? Because I'm here to tell you that if we get any glimpses of the Walker Buehler that we saw before the injury, he might be your game two starter over Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And as good as Yamamoto has been, and he's certainly going to be a Rookie of the Year candidate, you know Yamamania is in full effect, but this is Walker bleeping Buehler that we're talking about. And if he can continue to build strength, continue to have consistency in that velocity, this is going to change the plans for the Los Angeles Dodgers, because I think the expectations for Buehler were, you know what, this is a guy that's going to go out there, he's going to help this team, he's going to go out there and pitch solid, maybe a number four, maybe a number three. But last night, yes, it wasn't his best start ever, and it was this Miami Marlins offense. He ended up going four innings. He allowed three runs on six hits. He had four strikeouts and no walks. He also had a hit batter and threw 77 pitches. So there was that. Also, the way he fared against the top of the lineup, they went 3-for-6 off Buehler, and that was just on 11 pitches. You did see some hard contact. We'll break down the details of his outing here in a second. But that, to me, is my biggest takeaway. The velocity was there. No walks. No walks last night. He had struggled with command. I mean, that was the biggest thing we were looking at, too, was how would the velo look? How would the command look? And early, he was shaky. Early, he wasn't spotting the breaking stuff, and it was a little erratic at times as far as in the zone and as far as where the pitches were ending up. But the results, 77 pitches. And look, you could have seen Walker Buehler be effective at 94, but it looks like we're going to get him at 96 with some 97s and some 98s mixed in there. So I was extremely impressed with Buehler, and he talked about that velocity and the expectations about it and how it felt to pump 96, 97 again. Here was Walker Buehler after the game.
Like, it made sense with how amped up I was feeling or how fast my heart was going, I guess. So I wasn't super surprised, but you think about 22 months and kind of, you know, now three surgeries and dealing with that kind of stuff. And to be able to, I think the first fastball is 96. And I looked up, I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, you kind of get that, like, I belong here again thing. And yeah, it was cool.
So you look back at the scoreboard just to try to...
Yeah, I look on about every pitch. You know, I think I've done that probably forever.
One, I love that because a lot of pitchers won't admit that, but they're always looking at their velocity. They're always looking at the screen to see how hard they're throwing. I also love what he said. You kind of get that I belong here again thing. And I think, to me, on a deeper level, it just goes to show that for as much success as these guys have, right, an all-star pitcher like Walker Buehler, a World Series champion, at one point one of the very best hurlers in the sport, even guys like that, in their minds, have that thought, do I actually belong here again, right? Well, certainly you belong because you are one of the best competitors that we've seen in the last decade. And you look at his start in detail, Jazz Chisholm, he was batting leadoff. It was a 9-pitch at bat. And one of the themes of his start was Buehler would get two strikes on batters. It was just finishing off hitters. And that's going to be kind of the next step, is doing a better job finishing off hitters, getting that cutter, getting that knuckle curve, just working that pitch mix. And on the 9th pitch of the at-bat, he singled to third. Really nothing that Muncy could do with it. He goes the other way. And then Chisholm, he steals second. And then De La Cruz, 7th pitch of the at-bat, he was able to bang a single into center. That scored Chisholm to give the Marlins an early 1-0 lead. And then he bounces back. So before even recording out, he was trailing in this game. And then Berger, he gets him to ground to short for the first out. He gets Bell to line to third for the second out. And then Sanchez, he singles to right on a knuckle curve. That scored De La Cruz from first. That gave the Marlins an early 2-0 lead. And then he bounces back to get Anderson. So he gives up two runs on three hits. All three of those hits were singles. You saw the at-bat to Sanchez. That's just a knuckle curve that he left a little too in the zone. And that's what you're going to see with more experience, more reps for Walker Buehler. The more he pitches, the better his secondary stuff is, because that's what a lot of guys will say coming back from Tommy John surgery. It's not just the velocity, it's the feel for the breaking stuff. And that is what I'm excited to see. It's not just how consistent the velocity is going to be, but how is the stuff going to look as far as his get-out pitches, his put-away pitches, right? Are those going to improve? And I think they absolutely will. But second massive takeaway I had third, after the velocity and the command, was the pitch mix. I mean, he threw the cutter 30% of the time. He threw it more than his four-seam fastball. So he threw the cutter, the four-seam, the sinker, the knuckle curve, the slider, and the changeup. He's a pitcher, not a thrower, right? He's an outs getter, not someone who we saw when he first stepped on the scene that told reporters, hey, punching guys out is my thing. That's not who he is. So I'm proud of the fact that Walker Buehler is committed to reinventing himself, right? We saw the big fatal mistake that Noah Syndergaard made, and he was cinder gone, right? Because he tried to be the guy that he was in the past. He was chasing velocity. That's not the case for Walker Buehler. He knows that he's going to be most effective by putting the ball in play, trusting his defense. And I think that was really something that really opened my eyes about the role he can have for this team. That's why I think that this is sustainable. This is not someone that, oh, he has velo, he's going to be successful. Oh, he doesn't have velo, he's not going to be successful. Now, one thing I want to mention too, and we're going to break from Walker Buehler in a second, is the fellas had his back yesterday. Shohei Ohtani, first inning, Dodgers down. What does he do? 2-2 count. He hits a bomb to center, 441 feet. That ties the game because it was after a Mookie Betts walk. So just like that, that game's tied. And then Freddie Freeman, he follows that off with a solo blast of his own. It's the first time the Dodgers had gone back-to-back this season. And then later in the game, when he was trailing again, James Outman, he ends up, when the game was tied, James Outman, he ends up hitting a two-run home run after a Gavin Lux walk that put the Dodgers up for good 5-3. So this Dodgers team is a different team. This is the most complete Dodgers team I've seen in years from a starting pitcher to offensive standpoint. I mean, we saw it yesterday. Two-run deficit, cool. Rusty pitcher, cool. Just like that, game's tied. Two-run shot by Shohei Ohtani. Oh, game's tied? How about that? Let's take the lead on a solo shot from Freddie Freeman. So let's give our guy the lead. Let's give Walker Buehler the lead coming out there for the second inning. Oh, you know what? Buehler gives up a solo shot. He gets up a solo shot after a play where the ball goes right through Andy Páez's glove. Had Páez really timed his jump better, I think he makes that play 9 times out of 10. But still, they bounce back, and Teoscar Hernandez hits a home run. And then Outman hits a home run. So I just love the fact that this Dodgers team had his back offensively. They put him in a good position where he wasn't having to search for run support or anything like that. And then in the second inning for Buehler, I mean, he comes out there, and he gave the home run to Gordon. Could have been caught by Páez. Would have been a great play. And then you had the error by Buehler at first that allowed a runner to reach, but then he strikes out Fortes with a sinker looking in the zone. He freezes him, gives up that double to Chisholm, and then gets De La Cruz to fly out to right. So those first two innings, a little rocky there, and then he really settled down. He jumps back out there in the third. He got Berger looking at a perfectly placed painted sinker right there on the outside corner. He got Bell swinging. Is another perfectly painted sinker right there. And you see the moxie. You see the mindset to go out there and attack hitters on the corners. Beautiful, beautiful pitch. Knuckle curve, bottom of the zone. Just a nasty pitch right there. And you're seeing the nasty. And you're seeing it early right there. That was my favorite strikeout of the night, that knuckle curve to get Gordon. So, yeah, all in all, I give this performance from Walker Buehler an A because of the circumstances, an A because of the fact it was his first time pitching in almost 700 days, first time since June 10th, 2022. I think it changes the entire complexion of this Dodgers rotation because, look, it was a positive performance no matter how you like to slice it. His stuff looked good. The stuff was there. The elbow wasn't hurting him the next day, even though Dave Roberts did say that today he was going to wake up and feel like he got in a car accident. But I think the bounce back was there. He definitely was tired after the game. But I think, look, it was nothing but a positive yesterday. So, so impressed with Walker Buehler in his first start back after a second TJ. Here was Walker Buehler after the game assessing his start.
No, I mean, it can be a little over. Like, it made sense with how. No, I mean, it can be a little overwhelming at times, I guess, but kind of tired myself out and then settled in for a couple innings. But, yeah, that one's done. I think, sir, like, the ceremony of it is done, and now I can kind of focus on trying to be good and helping our team. So, yeah, I mean, I wish it would have gone better. I wish I would have thrown, you know, 5 or 6 shutout innings and whatever, but it's done, and I'm happy to be back. Yeah, I mean, even the first 2 innings obviously weren't as, like, successful as I wanted, but most of those were on, like, 2-strike or 0-0 and kind of the last things that you can sharpen up, I guess. So I guess it was kind of the right kind of mistakes for me, at least mentally. And, you know, I didn't think there was 98 in there still or 97 or whatever it was, but I think that helps. The adrenaline of being back, normally I try and temper that, and I've been somewhat concerned about the velocity a little bit. So you kind of try and ride it and see what's in there, and you know, I think the next one I'll probably feel the same and be able to temper it a little bit knowing that it's in there. So, you know, I think I'll probably have a little bit higher expectations of myself my next outing, but I feel pretty good about, you know, coming out of it, you know, walking and my arm can be fully straight and I feel pretty good. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
So a big up for Mr. Walker Buehler. Now, the other question, too, is will he be back with the Dodgers next season? Is this the last year of Walker Buehler for L.A.? Well, you look at where it sits right now. If he has the year that I think he's capable of having, he's going to set himself up nicely for a payday. And it's not a robust market of starting pitchers next offseason. And if he puts together a really solid season, I could absolutely see a team giving him north of $100 million, especially if he goes out there and performs well in the postseason. I mean, let's say he goes out there in October and gives the Dodgers 15, 20 innings, really positive innings, and makes big starts. There's going to be a lot of teams out there that say, you know what? This guy's back, and they'll view more of a Nathan Eovaldi type that says, you know what? Yes, he's had 2 Tommy John surgeries, but he's smart. He's intelligent. He knows how to pitch. He's having success. So kind of what I'm trying to tell you guys is enjoy Walker Buehler this year. He feels like a guy that should be a Dodger for life. He loves this organization. I mean, I asked him about what it was like. I asked Walker Buehler after the game what it was like to play with Shohei Ohtani and kind of experience that offense and just see him hit a home run in a game where he's pitching. And Buehler told me he's the best player ever. We gave him twice as much money as any player has ever made in this game, and he keeps proving why we did that. He's incredible. So he's saying we a lot. So it feels like he sees himself in this organization long term, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to keep him if he's the guy that we think he's capable of being. I mean, if he goes out there and he shoves and he looks like an all-star caliber pitcher, you look at the free agent market next offseason. Max Scherzer, unrestricted free agent. You look at Justin Verlander, he's got a vested option. Gerrit Cole, he's got a vested option. You look at some of the other pitchers that are available. Jordan Montgomery, he's gone off to a slow start. The Dodgers, they had their way with him. He's got a vested $25 million option. Blake Snell, he's got a $31 million player option where if he has a solid season, he's most certainly going to opt out. Patrick Corbin, Robbie Ray, Charlie Morton, Lucas Giolito's out. I mean, there's really no names out there that blow you away. So if Walker Buehler can hit this market and be that guy, you got to feel really good for him, and he's going to set himself for a really, really nice payday. And look at the Dodgers. You got Tyler Glasnow. You got Yoshinobu Yamamoto. You got Bobby Miller. Clayton Kershaw, he's there for 2 years. He could be back, and he could be healthy by then. You also have the possibility of signing Roki Sasaki. So Roki Sasaki, you got Max Fried. He's another option. I doubt they're going to give $150+ million to Max Fried if he has himself the year that he's having. I mean, if he goes 180 innings, anywhere from a sub-3 to a 3.5 ERA, he's going to get himself paid. So that changes everything. So kind of the bright spot of getting Roki Sasaki, which, yeah, you will take a Roki Sasaki now versus a Walker Buehler that you'd have to pay over $100 million for, but still, I mean, those are the trade-offs right there. I mean, those are the trade-offs. And obviously, Roki Sasaki is the top priority. I mean, you're talking about a 22-year-old pitcher that you're going to not have to pay big money to, but still, makes you really, really wonder if this is it, if this is a last dance season for Walker Buehler and the Los Angeles Dodgers. But either way, the thing I'm certain of is he is going to be able to help this team in a big way. And what I said at the top of this segment here, there's a world where Walker Buehler takes the ball in game two of a postseason series. And if it's not game two, he's a luxury in game three or game four. So very, very positive, very, very encouraging first start back for Walker bleeping Buehler. Okay, so that was our first up. Now our first down is we got some injury news to get into. And that is about Joe Kelly. The Dodgers placed Joe Kelly on the 15-day IL with a right posterior shoulder strain. So a right posterior shoulder strain. Kelly experiences discomfort after Sunday's appearance. Dave Roberts said that they did some imaging on Kelly's shoulder, and it didn't reveal anything troubling. So that's good news, but they're starting to pile up. It's feeling like a season of Squid Game once again, where it feels like every day, every week, you're losing key parts of this bullpen. And we've got freak injuries. You had Ryan Brazier. He hurts his calf warming up in Arizona. Yet Evan Phillips, he throws and his pants get caught on his cleat and he injures his hamstring. All these appeared to be minor, but we've heard that from this Dodgers organization, right? It's always a short stint. It's always going to be minor. They're always going to be back sooner than later. And then typically, either they get back and they get injured again, or they're on the shelf for longer than expected. You get the surprise, oh, he's been transferred to the 60-day IL. So you always have to take these injury reports with a grain of salt. But don't kid yourself. Joe Kelly has been big for this Dodgers offense. I mean, for this Dodgers rotation, for the Dodgers bullpen, because Joe Kelly, he has been in high leverage situations. He's been someone they've counted upon, and it would be a big blow if he has to miss extended time. And I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned with Joe Kelly. In his last 12 games, Mariachi Joe has posted a 32% strikeout rate. He also has posted a 1.69 ERA. He's been very effective. And most importantly, outside of Evan Phillips, Joe Kelly has been the second highest usage rate reliever for their high leverage situations. If you look at their average leverage index for the Dodgers relievers, he's second behind Evan Phillips. So they were using him in high leverage situations, and we'll see how long he's going to be out. On the year, you look at his ERA and you say, okay, 4.73, not that impressive, okay, but a 370 expected ERA, 15 appearances, 13 and a third innings. And like I said, of late, he has been lights out and he's been used in high leverage situations. So look, the good thing is you've seen more innings and production and long outings from your starting pitchers, but at some point you're going to need to solidify this bullpen. You're going to need to see who are going to be the guys that are going to make up this bullpen for this entire summer, because a lot of the key pieces from last year are currently out. Pretty much all of them, Brusdar, Evan, Phillips, and Ryan Brazier, their top three relievers are out right now. Hopefully it's nothing serious, but like I said, you got to tip your hat to that starting rotation. If you look at the starting rotation, Dodgers pitchers have gone at least six innings in the last four games before last night. And then they've gone seven innings in the last 11. So that's really good. That's really good production, not taxing that bullpen and giving them a chance to breathe. So that's a big one. Another injury update, Bobby Miller. He threw a bullpen session on Friday. Very, very encouraging stuff. I talked to Bobby Miller. He's feeling better. He's making strides. He's taking big steps in the right direction. So they need to get Bobby Miller back too. I'm very excited to see him back on the mound. He wants to pitch in this rotation with Mr. Walker Buehler. So having those two Louisville guys, it's going to be big. So that's definitely encouraging, but really it's the bullpen that's experiencing the issues. Now, the next up I got, by the way, with Joe Kelly, like, he's always going to have his injury issues. I mean, he hasn't pitched over 40 innings in a season for a long time. But I think for Joe Kelly, you just kind of have to hope that he's right for the postseason, because that's where he can really help this team, because he has experience being dominant during that stretch. We saw in 2018 how good he was. We got Beerusama down the comments. Is there a scenario where Buehler and Kershaw come back along with us signing Sasaki? Absolutely, there's a scenario. You need Walker Buehler to, one, show this organization that he can still pitch at a high level. If he can, and the Dodgers want him, I think you look past that and you say, you know what? Buehler brings intangible qualities to this rotation, to this clubhouse. He's so respected. There's just an energy about this guy. And everyone in that clubhouse loves having him around. And I think it just comes down to, do they want to pay him? I asked Walker Buehler before the season started if after the signing of Yamamoto and the trade for Glasnow made him feel any type of way about his future with the organization. And he told me with a big smile that it's up to them. So that tells me that he would want to re-sign with the Dodgers. It's just about, do they want to invest? Because it's almost a situation where the better he pitches, the less likely he probably comes back, right? Because if he pitches well, there's no reason why he can't go out there and sign with a team like the Cardinals or just teams out there that need starting pitching. Starting pitching is at a premium. And I think if I'm a team out there too, I'm saying to myself, look, I mean, this is a guy already has had his second Tommy John surgery. He's going to be fresh. He's going to have 2, 3, 4 really good years for us. So yeah, I think it's a kind of a double-edged sword, right? I mean, it's the gift and the curse, right? I mean, the better he pitches, I think the less likely he'll return. But let's say he doesn't pitch up to his standards, maybe takes a shorter-term deal, comes back with the Dodgers. You see that depth, but they're going to need a six-man rotation next year anyway because of Shohei Ohtani returning to the mound. But you get Roky Sasaki, and that's already 4 aces, potentially 5 if you include Bobby Miller, and the return of Clayton Kershaw. You still have Gavin Stone and Landon Knack, and it's just a very crowded starting rotation, and they've been reluctant to commit to a full-blown six-man rotation. So those are pretty much the factors right there. Philip Subia, Walker looks so anxious at times, kind of rushing himself for no reason. Philip Subia, that's a fire take right there because I agree with you 100%. I think that that could have been because of the pitch clock. Look, I mean, he had pitched with the pitch clock at the minor league level, but never at the big league level. So maybe he was rushing a little bit. I thought Oral Hershiser, who is just a pitching genius, pitching savant, what he said about Walker Buehler planting his leg and him releasing the ball simultaneously as the leg was planted, that was a sign that, yeah, maybe you're rushing. And maybe in those situations, because of doing that, you want to kind of wait a little bit. Yeah, you want to plant and then throw, and then you're not using as much arm. So I think that there were a lot of indications last night that, yeah, look, I mean, it's only natural, right? It's understandable considering where he was at. I mean, just look at that. I mean, a lot of arm right there. But you still saw the classic Walker Buehler delivery. We got to Golf Crouch. Any concern about how many Dodgers pitchers have had Tommy John surgery? Look, like Billy Bean said, there's 2 types of pitchers. Ones that have had Tommy John and ones that will have Tommy John. And unfortunately, almost 40% of the league is going under the knife. So it's really just inevitable. And I almost would rather have guys that are post-Tommy John than ones that you fear could experience it one day. So we've seen the Dodgers. They're willing to draft. Look at Walker Buehler is the perfect example, right? The reason why he fell to them was because his arm was injured, and they were willing to go through the process of him working his way back. We got Golf Crouch. We got Lawrence Jerez. Once Buehler settled down, he looked very good. Can't wait for his next start. I'm gonna give you a let's go Dodgers. Is Gonsolin even on this team anymore? Yeah, he's gonna be out for the entire season. But yeah, he's been in the dugout. Pablo Ramos, I just want the Dodgers not to heat up too early in the year like previous years. Pablo Ramos, it's funny that you bring that up because I was thinking that yesterday is, oh man, they can't help themselves. This Dodgers team cannot help themselves. They're going to win 110 games and they're going to peak too early and this and that. But remind yourself when that doubt and when that fear starts to creep in, remind yourself that you have Shohei Ohtani, you have Teoscar Hernandez. We have not seen this group with this level of talent in the postseason collectively. So don't forget that, okay? So I know a little PTSD, but don't forget that. We got Juan Jimenez fire take. Miggy Rowe hits a towering home run over Jazz Chisholm Jr. I like that, Juan. I like that. Yeah, Jazz Chisholm, man. That is like, we need to see that. We need to see them fight. We need to see, I mean, they're like the Kendrick and Drake of baseball heading into the season with the beef they had. So we got the Strider hear you. Dodgers Nation, remember when people complained about Will Smith's catching? I don't know. Every year he's gotten even better. Any complainers out there? He's fantastic. I mean, he threw a runner out last night. The framing, the game calling, he's completely improved. And he's one of the complete catchers in the game. And, yeah, he's outstanding. But we got whatever on YouTube. Paez got to stay if producing like Puig, Belly, and others. Outman, still shaky, and Hayward over the hill. I think Paez wins and deserves a starting spot now. Okay, let's dive into that one because it was a big night. So this will be the next up right here. And that is, will Andy Paez stay up? Well, I think right now it comes down to James Outman and Andy Paez, unless they are going to Phantom IL Chris Taylor. And that's dangerous. I mean, you could also IL James Paxton. There's a lot of guys that you could potentially IL. But let's not forget when Billy Epler, when he's with the Mets, he was suspended for fabricating injuries. So it's dangerous. You definitely don't want to play with that if you can avoid it, right? And really, I think the most obvious choice is James Outman being optioned. But looking at James Outman, yes, he's gotten off to a slow start this season. Yes, he's someone that you could absolutely send down. But let's not forget, this is also the same James Outman that finished top three in Rookie of the Year voting. But on the year, look, it's a results-based business, and he's hitting 169, has a 267 on base, 303 slug in 29 games, has a 71 weighted runs created plus, so he's 29% below league average. But he did hit a home run last night, and it was his first home run since April 9th when he homered in back-to-back games against the Minnesota Twins. He was 7 for his last 45, so he was slumping, man. He was slumping in a big way, but to see him hit a home run was a very good sign. And Dave Roberts talked about James Outman recently. He said, James is really scuffling. He's in between. Uncertainty with his mechanics, uncertainty with his approach. When you're in that spot, it's tough to hit. And you could see that with James Outman during the at-bats. There's a lack of decisiveness. And you don't know if you should take a pitch. You don't know if you should sell out for a pitch. You don't know if you just want to swing to make contact. And I think that is something that he needs to just let go. Go out there, play your game. You'll live with the strikeouts if you're doing damage. I think with James Outman, if I'm Outman, I'm saying to myself, look, if I'm going to make myself $50 to $100 million in this league, it's not trying to hit 300. It's trying to hit 30 home runs, right? Try to hit 30 home runs and play above average defense, and you are going to get paid, and there are going to be teams out there that want your services. So I think that he's trying to avoid the slumps by being more contact-oriented. But if I'm James Outman, I'm trying to hit one out. Man, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm doing if I'm James Outman. And he said yesterday, he told us after the game, to be honest, we were talking today, and I was sick of talking about my swing. I just wanted to go out there and compete. So that's the right mindset. Go out there and do what you do best. Try to hit the ball as hard as you can. Don't second guess yourself at the plate and just do you. When you overthink, that is when you get into trouble. And I think James Outman was kind of stuck in that for a couple weeks, and it's good to see him hit that home run. And I will say too, look, Andy Paez, he's the flavor of the month. You guys know how I feel about Andy Paez. I absolutely think that he has no business being sent down. He's here to stay. But look at the year that James Outman had last season. James Outman was fantastic. He started the year hot. In April, he won the Rookie of the Month, right? He also won the Rookie of the Month in August. But what happened in between April and August? He was slumping. I mean, May and June, he had a combined 551 OPS. So he has had stretches where he's had low lows, he's had high highs. And last year when he was struggling, it was the indecision. And Dave Roberts talked about that a little bit too as well. So that's the big thing for me. And I think there's a couple factors here. And it comes down to this. Jason Hayward, they're ramping him up very quickly now. He was engaging in baseball activities. He's rehabbing. He's been fast-tracked. He's dealt with that back tightness, but that feels like it's behind him now. And Dave Roberts said that it's probably going to be a week possibly before he returns. So we're talking about a week. So does that mean that possibly James Outman has a week to get his stuff together? Makes you wonder. because I don't know if James Albin should be hearing the Jaws theme, but he really needs to go on a tear. He shaved. He had smooth skin. Tells me that he wanted to switch some things up because he knows that, hey, I could be optioned. And he started every game this season against right-handed starting pitchers, and he's going to get some opportunities because they're going to be facing a lot of righties. So I just want to see him get those opportunities, see if he can really figure things out, because he's a really good defender. He has pop. Is he better than Andy Páez? Does he have the ceiling that Andy Páez has? The answer is no, in my opinion. But he's definitely been a solidifying part of the outfield picture. And my fear for him is he just doesn't have a lot of time to prove, if they're going to go the option route, that he's going to be able to stay up. I mean, Jason Hayward, yesterday, I saw him taking batting practice. He was in the group batting practice session. He did it on Saturday. He's been taking at-bats with the Traject Arc pitching machine. They got this pitching machine that simulates live pitchers, so that fast-tracks the return process. So, yeah, they haven't assigned him to a rehab assignment. There's been no rehab assignment yet for Jason Hayward, and remains to be seen what the plan is for that. But I think James Albin's days could be numbered if he doesn't start to produce. Next up is, how about Ryan Yarbrough? Ryan Yarbrough, I'm going to show him love right now. Ryan Yarbrough, look, I'm starting a fan club. I'm calling us the Yarbrows, okay? Are you going to join the Yarbrows? Because that's what I'm starting today. Because Ryan Yarbrough is not getting the credit. He's not getting the love and appreciation that he deserves. And that's to be expected when you're on a star-studded team that includes Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts and Tyler Glasnow and Freddie Freeman and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. But Ryan Yarbrough has been massive for this team early on. And you saw last night, he's able to go in there, pitch three scoreless innings, get the job done, and like Dave Roberts said after the game, he is a Swiss Army knife. You can plug him in to certain situations in certain innings, and you don't have to worry about him. His unique pitching style, velocity-wise, it's the lowest in the league, right? Does not throw hard, but he misses barrels. He generates soft contact. He's got that deceptive delivery that keeps hitters off balance. And he's quietly put together a sub-3 ERA season. If you look at Yarbs, 30 innings so far. He's appeared in 10 games, has a 2.7 ERA, and he's gotten the job done. And I asked Dave Roberts after the game about Ryan Yarbrough, and here's what Yarbs had to say. And no Yarbrough, but if you go on my Twitter, I posted there. And what he said basically was that he's invaluable for this team. He's invaluable for this team. And that is what you love to hear from your manager. So he's a massive part. So yeah, the Yarbrows, if you guys want to join, where membership is 100% free, we're doing a special today. If you guys want to join the Yarbrough fan club, I am the president of it. But yeah, let me know down below, how you guys feeling about Ryan Yarbrough? Do you like his role on this team? Would you like to see him start games? I think he's perfect now that you have Walker Buehler back and you can piggyback him. We got a $4.99 super chat. How much will fans find a degradation in Ohtani's offense when he begins to pitch next year? Expect some, and so strong now, that's okay. No, he's not from this planet. He's not, and he's going to be just fine. And we saw him win unanimous MVP awards because of his offense, and he's an ace-level pitcher. So I'm not worried about that in the least. You know what's crazy about this? Shohei Ohtani has 2.7 F4. I mean, as a DH, he has 2.7 F4. He's right behind Mookie Betts and Bobby Witt Jr. For most war in all of Major League Baseball. Now, he has 2.7 F4 by himself. Do you know how much F4 the Angels have as an entire offensive team? They have 1.9. Shohei Ohtani individually has more war than the Angels' entire lineup, 2.7 to 1.9, okay? So that tells you he's already off to a historic start for this season. We got Martinez. Hey, D-Mac, just wanted to highlight how Miguel Rojas has mentored Mookie Betts at shortstop. The dividends are paying off, and love this tandem. Reminds me of Isturiz, and yeah, absolutely. I mean, There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's been a big part of this. And I think with Miguel Rojas, he's always going to be there for all of his teammates. And Mookie has just put in countless hours playing that shortstop position and warming up and taking backhands. And you're seeing the results. I think Mookie Betts is determined to be a Gold Glove Award winner. And there's nothing that this man can't accomplish on a baseball field. They just released the top 10 shortstops in all of Major League Baseball. Mookie's number one. So to think that you have a shortstop that's producing like he has offensively, even if he plays league average, it's a major win. So next up is we're going to talk about Tanner Scott. Should the Dodgers trade for Miami Marlins reliever Tanner Scott? And for me, you guys know that I've been about Tanner Scott for quite some time, and he's a lefty. Last year, he was one of the biggest reasons why that Marlins team won so many of those one-run games. He was their closer. And what I'm going to do, because we know they're going to make trades, this Dodgers team, as good as this roster is, you're going to have some injuries, and they're going to do anything they can to improve this roster on the margins, or if they want to swing big, they have the prospect capital to do just that. So every team the Dodgers played this season, we're going to pick out one player from that team, maybe two sometimes, that I think the Dodgers should trade for. Well, for the Miami Marlins series, I'm going with Tanner Scott. And so far in the year, Tanner Scott has a 2.77 ERA in 13 innings of work. Now, the FIP is really high. It's at 5.53. The expected numbers aren't pretty at 5.92. And the expected ERA, not as bad. It's at 3.79. But at 2.77 ERA, the results have been there. But the pros for Tanner Scott is, one, he fits the Dodgers mold as far as what they look for in season trades, right? He's on an expiring contract. They don't owe him a ton of money after this season. So this would be theoretically a one-year rental, unless they like what they see and they bring him back, kind of like what they did with Ryan Brazier. But they don't want to commit long-term to a reliever. They don't want to really commit long-term to anyone that they don't love. And I've said this for years. The Dodgers, they sign who they love. They let walk who they like. And they're not afraid to let guys they like walk, but they will keep guys they love. But Tanner Scott could absolutely help this team this season. And I'm not too concerned about the expected numbers. I think this Dodgers team can get him back to where he needs to be. It's Miami. They're a dumpster fire, okay? They're a bad organization. Alex Renteria, D-Mac has been on Tanner Scott train all year. All 2 years, really. I mean, you look at what he could bring to this bullpen, a lefty. And they're not hell-bent on just adding a lefty for the sake of adding a lefty. They have guys that have reverse splits. They have guys that are effective against lefties and righties. A lot of these guys have. I mean, right down the list. From Blake Treinen, who's great again, it looks like. Make relievers great again, right, with Blake Treinen. But that's not the issue here. It's just adding quality. And the four-seam fastball for Tanner Scott, still averaging 96.3 miles per hour. Last year was at 96.8, so no big velocity drop-off. And opponents are actually hitting just 80.080 against his heater this season, and he's throwing it 55% of the time. The issue for him has been the slider. The slider has not had that same effectiveness this season. The expected slug on his slide piece is 493. But last season, that slider was incredibly effective. The expected slug was just 229. So he's a happily married man, but he has a slide piece. And that slide piece will come with him to LA, and they'll find a way to get it back to being where it needs to be. So Tanner Scott would not require major top prospects. It's just about going out there and getting this deal done. And they're going to trade for a reliever, possibly two relievers. He's right there at the top for guys I want to see in Dodger blue. But for the last part of the show, let's dive into your comments here. Guys, we got Bush, slow down, now hitting average. That's from Dodger Z Showtime. I mean, you bring up a great point. And look, this is not to say that Michael Bush is not going to be legit. This is not to discredit him or act like he's like it was a fluke what he did earlier on the season. It's that these seasons are long. There's ebbs and flows. There's ups and downs. And even the best hitters are going to struggle at times. So this same look, Michael Bush, for example, you brought it up. He started off and he was absolutely dominating. And then you start to see a little slide. Then for the month of May, He's hitting 208 with a 583 OPS. So these are James Outman-ish numbers, right? There's a world where James Outman snaps out of this funk. He got the home run yesterday, and he goes on a tear. And then Andy Páez, who, by the way, the best thing about yesterday, Andy Páez, I thought I'd never see this. Andy Páez had a walk. Andy Páez drew his first walk in 73 at-bats. So definitely love seeing that. But Andy Páez is going to have a slump at some point. And that's really the big test for these young players. How quickly can you get out of these slumps? Can you keep the hot streaks long? Can you keep the slumps short? That's what they're all trying to do. But still, I know what I see. The man's a big league hitter. He has no business ever going down again. But here we go. D-Mac, why did Ipe use Bet Online? That's from Steven. That's a fire. That's a bruh. BC, he could be heading back down. What up, BC? We got hepatitis. See you later. People acting like the Dodgers gave up Barry Bonds. Exactly, right? Sonny E, Scott had a great year in 2023. They got to bring him in. That's from our friend Sonny E over there on YouTube. Roy Estrada, no room for DeLuca or Bush. Good for them. Exactly. I mean, sometimes if you love something, then let it go and give these guys the opportunities that they deserve. Yep, Páez walked. I know I was going to pass out. I thought I was going to faint there. It was so great to see that. But Bush averaged 250. No on Soto. That's from GAF29. Alan Valentine, Yarbs eating innings like a Pac-Man. Yeah, we got a member of the Yarbros, sounds like. You join the club. Love it. Bond should have been an Astro. Hey, man. Cheaters wear orange. We know that. Kelly, Páez had a slump. He went 0 for 4. He's back already. Yeah, I wouldn't say 0 for 4 is a slump, but he has been consistent. And if he can add a little more plate discipline and draw some more walks while also getting extra base hits and leaving the yard, hey, man, this is someone who could honestly, Andy Páez could be an all-star this year. That's not a ridiculous statement, okay? And it's a small sample size, and I guarantee you there's scouts around the league that are reviewing his at-bats and trying to target his problem areas and ways that they can get him out. But 18 games, 78 plate appearances, right? 78 plate appearances, hitting .319, has a .556 slug. He's been 54% above league average offensively, and he's also hit 4 home runs. So, yeah, Páez, he ain't going nowhere. So, some more comments here. We got, what do we got here? We got, give us Lance Lynn. Okay, that's a bruh.
Bruh.
Oh, sorry, Kelly. I know. I mean, I know you're joking. What's up, Kelly? We got the Roy Rhodes extend Dave Roberts. Wow. A rare extend Dave Roberts. That is a comment of the show. I guess Dave Roberts' burner is Roy Rhodes. But hey, here's the situation with Dave. If he goes out there and wins this season, one, he's going to get a Porsche from Shohei. Two, he's going to have this job as long as he wants it. So if Dave Roberts wants the ultimate job security, if he wants a lifetime contract, go win a World Series in year one with Ohtani in this group, and you'll have this job for as long as you want it. We got Dodgers, Kings fan. Just wait till Gratterall gets back. He'll be on fire. It's not going to be for a while, though. It's the thing. I mean, shoulder stuff, it's definitely concerning. And a little update on the poll. And as far as the concern level, yeah, it's not as concerning as I thought it was going to be. But, hey, still some of you guys... Oh, I see you put that quote up there, Noel. That looks great. And you use that video? Come on now. how concerned are you guys about the Dodgers injuries? 17% say very. 39% say semi. 32% say a little. 12% say not. The not people are just very Michelada half full. But, yeah, you know, for me, with the Dodgers, it kind of comes down to, like, sometimes I just check the injury report before the box score, right? So hopefully they can get healthy. Richard, what up, Richard Flores? Fire Roberts. You gotta love some Fire Roberts now. Then flooding with Fire Roberts. Hell no, Fire Roberts. Will Ohtani give Roberts a Porsche? At least we always have depth. Absolutely. And that's what this organization is built on, is that depth. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me at DMAC_LA. You can also follow me on IG, on X, at DMAC_LA. Also on TikTok. Also follow Dodgers Nation for all of our latest giveaways, everything we're doing here, news, articles, go to DodgersNation.com and make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Like I said, guys, we are just getting cooking with these giveaways. I'm going to try to give you guys as much as I can. Hats, t-shirts, autographs, jerseys, lots of stuff coming your way. You just have to subscribe to the channel. Comment done down below. Dodgers King fan, you like that bro one? I got you.
Bruh.
But that's going to do it. Also, once again, congratulations to the winner of the Tyler Glasnow jersey, Mr. At John Bleeding Blue 5417. You are the winner. Hopefully, you claim this and you check in over on one of our social accounts. Thanks, Philip. Thanks, Eddie. Thanks, Jazz. See you guys next time. We're going to be tonight, post-game show after the game. See you guys right after the Dodgers, Marlins tonight. But that's going to do it. Remember, nothing brings together quite like Dodger baseball. Until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big.